14 tonight. This is the other chapter that concerns Babylon, the prophecy concerning Babylon. And this chapter corresponds with 2 Chronicles, as the outline in Isaiah tells us. Quite a chapter. We got into it and just trust the Lord to take this down as far as he wants to go tonight. There's so much in this. All right, I believe we'll read down through the 12th verse. I believe that's all the further we're going to get tonight, because there's so much in this latter. All right, Isaiah 14. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. Thank you, Larry. All right. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captive, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. What a contrast to today, isn't it? And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. This is Isaiah 14. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city, or this in my margin says, the arrogant one, ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruleth the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. That will be quite a day, won't it? They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon sang. Since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. You could take that in two ways, that feller. It's in the south, I think they call a feller. But this is a different, this is the one who cuts down trees. Hell from beneath is moved. Now this is quite a section here. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, or this is Lower Sheol, and the noise of thy bowels, and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? My, what a section we have here tonight. This is all future now, because that's what Isaiah is speaking of primarily here, though it had a little fulfillment back in Isaiah's day, yet this, we're looking at it into the future, the final fulfillment of this. And in from verses 1 to 3, we have the certainty of Israel's deliverance from Babylon. There's no uncertainty about this. Praise the Lord. And the word for, right at the beginning of this chapter, gives a reason for the overthrow of the Gentile oppressors. God is going to overthrow them because he's going to have mercy. And this is a four points in this first verse here. Notice the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. That's the first one. He will choose Israel is the second. The third, he will set them up in their land. And then the fourth, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Really, you could have five. Praise the Lord. Now notice that God, through Isaiah, uses the name Jacob here. We know that the name Jacob means the planter, but it also speaks to us that God had to weaken Jacob before he became a prince with God. And this is what he's going to have to do to this nation Israel. He's going to have to bring them to a place of weakness that they will turn and look to the Lord, as he does with all of us. He takes out the natural strength and the everything that we have and enables us to just lean on him. It's also a reminder that God made a covenant with the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's go over to Exodus 3, verses 6 through 9. We'll read Exodus 3, verses 6 through 9. This nation is special to the Lord. You've got a paper from Israel concerning Friends of Israel, I think the title of it, today, and has some very interesting things in it. Exodus 3, verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and he knows ours too, doesn't he? And I am, this is the I am, come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. All of these things speak of the giants that are within us. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth thy people, my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is a covenant that God made with them, and God still sees the afflictions that they're going through today. All of this that God's going to do is grounded upon the fact that he elected this nation, the only nation that he ever elected as a nation. Let's go over to Psalms 102, and we'll read some more wonderful scriptures tonight. Praise the Lord. Aren't we thankful for this word? Oh, it has life in it, doesn't it? Psalms 102 and verse 13. I'm going to read down a ways here. Psalms 102:13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. Now keep in mind what we're reading, because this is harmonizes with this lesson that we're having tonight. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Won't that be wonderful? He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Now this is a new creation, Israel, he's talking about. This remnant, they're going to be created in Christ Jesus, just like we're created in Christ Jesus today. When we're born again, he creates us in him. And that's how they are going to be. They will praise the Lord, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. Aren't you glad he has created us? Oh, praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner. Were you groaning when the Lord got a hold of you? I was. To loose those that are pointed to death. And all of us were that. Just think of where we were headed. We were going to the lake of fire, as we're going to see, and the lower Sheol, as we're going to see where some of them are in this lesson tonight. Appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together and the kingdom to serve the Lord. Oh my, what a contrast to today. All right, this first verse in Isaiah 14 tells of God's purposes for Israel in this fourfold way that we mentioned in that verse. And we could see five there. And then this second verse, those who remain of the oppressors of Israel after God's judgment falls on the world, they will become Israel's servants and their handmaids. And this will be a joy for these nations, because they will too will become a new creation. Many of in them they will turn to the Lord. So they will recognize Israel as the head here. Then they will be willing to serve this nation Israel. It won't be out of oppression that they rule, but they will do it out of love, and Israel will treat them as a new creation. They won't treat them as the nations that took them captives treated them. They were treated terribly, but Israel will not treat these people that way. They won't take vengeance upon them, because there will be a new creation. Won't that be wonderful? Man today wants to take vengeance. He's got something in his heart that he just has to retaliate. All right, and then the third verse, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow. Notice the things there. Three things. Give thee rest from thy sorrow, from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. This is, again, what God is going to do. Give them rest. It will be a quieting rest where they will remain undisturbed. They're not that way today, are they? That nation over there, they're there in unbelief. And they're being disturbed. From every nation in the world, they're being disturbed. They're trying to get, the nations are trying to get them to do what they want them to do. And, of course, the PLO is there to disturb them as well as the other nations. It will be, they will be undisturbed. This rest is going to be undisturbed because it's going to be in Christ. Let's go over to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. This is how we come into this rest today. It's the same way that Israel is going to come into this rest. Oh, thank the Lord. Aren't we glad we can say thank the Lord for this and praise the Lord for the word that we've entered into this rest? Hebrews 4, praise the Lord. He's talking here to Hebrew Christians. Hebrews 4 and the 8th verse. For if Joshua, this should be Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This word rest here means quietness, quiet places, a settling down. That's what remains for this people of Israel, is this rest that's going to be in Christ. So there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, and that's what we enter into today. For he that entereth into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as God did from his. So let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. This word labor means to be diligent. Ask the Lord to make us diligent, to enter into this rest, to lay down the self-effort that we have to want to do this. We have to do it as the Lord takes us into it. Labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. And I love this 12th verse. For the word of God is living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now remember, we're reading the word tonight. And this word is what gets down into our very being, into our heart, and it divides. Aren't we thankful? Praise the Lord. All right, from the fourth verse on, this word is living. And I'll tell you, more and more when we read it, it's precious. All right, from this fourth verse on, it's one of the greatest poems in prophetic scripture. And it has the form of a funeral dirge, a lament in Hebrew, and it speaks of death. Now this is a serious section here, but it is not sung at a funeral, for the song is of a tyrant who will be denied proper burial. It doesn't have the pomp that a great king would expect at his death. This is speaking now not only of the Antichrist, the false prophet, but mainly of Satan. There's a trinity of evil there. The song is called a proverb. You'll notice in the King James Version, in the margin, it says a taunt song of triumph. Taunt song, T-A-U-N-T. And as we said, it speaks of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. The other two will be energized by Satan. So it's against the king of Babylon, and this is primarily Satan, and they'll say, how hath the oppressor ceased, and the arrogant one ceased. And there's only one who can bring this about, to bring this trinity of evil down, and that's the Lord, as the fifth verse says. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers. Broken the staff with which one strikes, and that's what they did, and they will do again in this world. And these things are coming fast. They're going to strike those that rebel against their rulership. Let's go over to Psalms, the second Psalm, the second Psalm. Now we need all know that this word is true, don't we? And that every bit of this is going to come to pass. And I thank the Lord it is. The second psalm, this is a messianic psalm. And I'm just going to read it down through the ninth verse. Why do the heathen rage, or the nations, they speak of the Gentile nations, rage or assemble tumultuously together? And that's what they're doing today. All these different groups, organizations. And the people, Israel, imagine or meditate upon a vain thing. That's peace without the Lord. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Thank the Lord, he's already there. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth thy possession. This is the verse we want. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt bash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. He's the one who is going to come down from the glory, and he is the one who is going to smite this trinity of evil. He'll break the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Think of all the rulers of the world. There'll be quite a day, isn't it? And only the Lord is going to use these rulers. Here are the tyrants, and there are many of them in the world today. It's not just as we like to call some of these countries dictatorships, but nations that have a democratic government are also tyrants. And we'll understand this as closer we come to the coming of the Lord. Now this sixth verse, I want to read it in another. It shows the terror that they will cause. I'm going to read it in the Hebrew. He that smote peoples with scourgings relentless. He that ruled over the nations in wrath with such persecution that none did restrain. Nobody could stop him. None could restrain him. And but the Lord. As he read there, he's going to smite people with scourgings relentless, rule over the nations in wrath, with such persecutions that none did restrain him. None had the power to restrain, or none will have the power to restrain the Antichrist. He is going to be backed by Satan, and he's going to have complete control. But then the Lord comes, and as the fifth verse said, he's going to break the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Then the whole earth is at rest and is quiet, and they break forth into singing. The whole earth. Won't that be wonderful? Okay, let's go over to, let's start over in Zechariah. The first chapter and the 11th verse. You sing that song, won't it be wonderful there? Then having no burdens to bear, it's going to be wonderful, isn't it? We'll be up there with him. All right, Zechariah 1, and I believe this is the one I wanted. 1:11. Yes, this is it. Let's read the 10th verse. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. And if you have your margin reference, it'll refer you right back over to this verse, that we, the 7th verse in Isaiah 14. All right, let's go to Isaiah 44:23. There's so many wonderful scriptures about this time. 44 and verse 23. This is regarding the singing, when they're going to break forth into singing, and that's going to be so wonderful. I like to, the Spirit put myself at this time. In fact, that's what the Lord wants us to do. Isaiah 44 and verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens. Can't you just hear the saints up there singing? For the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Now notice again, redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Now, this next scripture we have is Psalms 148. We'll tell about the trees. You know, he created everything, and we can't imagine trees singing, but that's what they're going to do. The Lord knows how to get them to sing. This is 148th Psalm, and I'm going to read it because it's wonderful Psalm. This is a time when the whole earth is going to praise the Lord. And notice what's mentioned here. This word praise ye the Lord is hallelujah. And aren't we glad we can say hallelujah? Praise the Lord. That's the Hebrew for praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. And that's where we will be praising the Lord from. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him all his angels. Praise ye him all his hosts. Praise ye him sun and moon. Praise him all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens. See, there's stories in the heavens. And ye waters that be above the heavens. Did you know there's waters above the heavens? God says there is. We'll find out one of these days. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons or sea monsters, and all deeps. Can't you just see these creatures coming up? And because the curse is going to be lifted, see? Praise him, and then he talks about the fire and the hail, the snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. They too will praise the Lord. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. What a day. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel. A people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Again, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful song? Can this be one of these days that every creature in heaven and earth, and that even below the earth, is going to praise the Lord? It's going to be wonderful. I don't know how they'll say it, but the Lord knows that. In this eighth verse, when he talks here about the, back in Isaiah 14, the fir trees and the cedars, countries over the years have stripped the forest over there of their wood. And in one of the study books, it said that Alexander the Great built himself a fleet made with cypress wood. This is one of the most valuable woods there is. And we had did have a piano tuner up the other day, and we learned that a piano has 12 to 13 different kinds of wood in it. We learned a lot of things out of piano. But these trees, then, they say that we will not be laid down, because it's the Antichrist that laid them down will lay them down at that time. But let's go to the 37th chapter of Isaiah in verse 24. Now, if anyone has questions or thoughts, bring them up. We're learning tonight. All right, 37:24 of Isaiah. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees, this is the cypress thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. Now, we know that these are literal trees, but they can also speak of the leaders of these countries. But they rejoice. Let's go to the 55th chapter of Isaiah and the 12th verse. Again, of scripture that witnesses to itself that these mountains and so forth are going to break forth into singing. Let's start now with the 8th verse. This is a precious portion. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Aren't we glad? Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. This is something we learn over the years, isn't it? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, thank the Lord they are. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Notice the I. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's not our responsibility to cause this word to accomplish that which God wants it. It's his responsibility. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isn't that precious? Oh, thank the Lord. It's a wonderful scripture. All right. Now, let's get into this portion. Now, we have a change of scenery here. From earthly, we're going to go down into the very lowest, into lower Sheol. We can't do it physically, but we can do this through the Word. All right, 9th verse. Hell. And this word hell in the margin is it's Sheol, and speaks of lower Sheol. Upper Sheol is empty today. The saints, the spirits of the saints that were there were taken up when Jesus arose from the dead. Hell from beneath is moved. And this word moved is violently disquieted. Violently disquieted. Now, why would Lower Sheol be violently disquieted? Well, someone's coming down there. Is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Now, this is Satan. It stirreth up the dead, or the shades, for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Now, these are wicked kings. Their spirits are down there today. I'm going to read this in another rendition. Sheol beneath thee shakes with excitement, springs at thy coming to welcome thee there. The shades, and this is from a word meaning to be weak. These people are weak. They were once powerful, but now they're weak. They are thrown into tumult. All who on earth were its leaders, from their thrones do they spring. All the kings of the nations, those who had authority, they spring up, as it were, from their thrones on which they will be on or sit on down there. They still think they're ruling, but they're not. The word hell, or the shades here, is taken from the Hebrew word S-H-A-H-A-L, and that word means to ask, because that place is constantly demanding fresh victims. Now, this is one of the four things that say it's not enough. Let's go over to Proverbs. That's why Satan doesn't want people saved today. Proverbs 30 in the 15th verse. 30:15 of Proverbs. The horse leash hath two daughters, crying, or in the margin, that word crying is called give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave, or this here in the margin, is Sheol, which is the lower Sheol, and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. They don't say it, it's enough. It's quite a scripture, isn't it? See, lower Sheol, Satan wants as many spirits, wicked spirits, as he can get down there. And he's going to keep it up until he gets as many as he can. It's quite a scripture. In the margin, hell is Rephaim, R-E-P-H-A-I-M. And the meaning of that is to resolve into first elements. And that's what man will be doing, resolving the first element. All right, as Satan comes down there, this 10th verse says of Isaiah 14, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? And I'm going to read this again in another translation. All of them scoffingly cry to thee, art even thou become feeble as we? Art even thou become like unto us? So here we see lower Sheol is going to be overwhelmed in excitement and wonder as Satan enters and comes down there, and it refers to Satan. Now let's go to Revelation 20 and see where he's put down there for a while. He'll be loose for a while, and then later he'll be put in the lake of fire. But in Revelation 20, in the first verse, we see Christ coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. It'll probably be about 3 months. Now, these scriptures that we've read here in Isaiah plainly tell us of the conscious state of souls in lower Sheol, their ability to exchange thoughts, and vivid recollection of their circumstances. They remember. Remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? I don't know if I can find it right off or not. Let's see if we can. It's in Luke. They'll remember what they've done. Yeah. Yes. Okay. It's the 16th chapter of Luke, 19th verse. See, they're going to be tormented day and night. It's not going to be the end when they leave this earth. It's just all eternity, these wicked ones are going to be tormented. There was a, in the 19th verse, Luke 16:19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and Lazarus means God is my help, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, and notice, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That was Upper Sheol at that time. The rich man also died, but notice the angels didn't carry him. He was buried. And in hell, or lower Sheol, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off. Now see, they're conscious. He recognized Abraham, and he recognized Lazarus, this poor man, in his bosom. And he cried, or he prayed, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, he didn't want anything to do with him before, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. This rich man gave him evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, and this was fixed by God, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith, and Abraham now, see, he's conscious, his spirit, he saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will not repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Man is very, well, I say, he's blinded by Satan, isn't he? So we really need to pray for people that they will come to know the Lord as their Savior. All right, back in our lesson, these in the ninth verse, these chief ones literally means goats or rams. They were leaders of the flock, and then we have the kings of the nations that are down there. Speaks of the religious leaders, and then the political leaders in that verse. All right, and they say, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we, art thou become like unto us. And this is what they're surprised at, this, it seems. All right, the 11th verse. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Again, this word grave here is Sheol, lower Sheol. And the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. This is a sad verse. I mean, it'll be a sad condition. I want to read this again in another translation. Thy pomp is cast down to the region of the dead, the noise of the harp. Remember, in Ezekiel, and we're going to turn over there in a little bit, we're going to read about the him. And then the rest of this is, maggots are spread under thee, and they that cover thee are worms. These worms were bred in putrefaction. They were, they had a terrible smell, and this is the way this place is going to be. The maggots and worms now take the place of costly, artistic Babylonian rugs used on a corpse. And it's kind of interesting. The other day, when we were watching the news, was it Iraq or Iran that has begun? Iran. Their rugs, their beautiful rugs, Persian rugs. They have. They're making them more, and I forget what all they talked about. But I thought about that, and they want to sell them now to other nations. I thought about that when I read this today. So pomp and music give place to corruption and the stillness of Sheol. All those kings that had the pomp and the glory and the music, all that will be still, and they'll be down there. All right, this 12th verse.